So, today we're looking at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. I love this verse. When I'm feeling tired or worn out, or my mind's in turmoil, or my day's not going well and I feel, Lord, I'm not going to make it through today. This is one of my go-to verses, where I remember these words, because these words that we're seeing on the screen, these words that I'm about to read to you, are not just words. They're not just ink on paper, but these are the very promises of God that are spoken into each of our lives today. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. You know, there's something that I really don't like is waiting. I've told you from this front before that me on a traffic jam on the M25 is like trigger point for me. For me in the supermarket, when I get to the checkout, and there's a queue in front of me, I start thinking terrible things in my head about skipping the queue.
Use self-checkout.
When I... In South Africa, we used to have to stand at the cash machine in a long queue. It was always horrendous. You had to allow at least 40 minutes extra time to go and draw cash. And I know I'm not good at waiting, and I actually haven't really met anybody who is good at waiting. Because we live in a world of speed, of fast food, fast Amazon shipping, fast answers, fast results. And we're taught that if something takes too long, then something must be wrong. And yet Scripture again and again and again places God's greatest work in the spaces that we most resist, the space of waiting. Isaiah speaks to people, yeah, who are exhausted, not just tired in their bodies, but worn down in their very souls. The people he's speaking to have known loss, displacement, fear, disappointment, and long period of uncertainty. They're not asking for luxury, but what they are asking for is, how do we go on from here? And into that place, God speaks this promise into them. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Not escape, not avoid, not bypass, but renew. Somebody say renew. Which means that strength that has never been spent can be restored. Church, Isaiah chapter 40 is written to people who feel like God has forgotten them. They say in verse 27, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. In other words, what they are saying is, God doesn't see me. That God doesn't care about us. That God isn't acting on our behalf. These people are not being rebellious. They are just purely humanly exhausted. And God does not point a finger and scold them. But he speaks tenderness before he speaks power into their lives. He says, comfort. Comfort my people. And then Isaiah lifts their eyes, not to their problems, but to who God is. The Creator of the ends of the earth. The one who does not grow faint or weary. The one whose understanding is unsearchable. Before God promises renewed strength, He reveals to the people His own strength. Because, church, we cannot draw strength from a God that we believe is as tired as what we are. That waiting is not wasting time. It says, those who wait for the Lord. Waiting in Scripture does not mean killing time. It does not mean passivity. It does not mean resignation. Biblical meeting means active trust in God. The Hebrew word carries the sense of binding together, intertwining, placing hope in. The waiting is not sitting still, but waiting is leaning in God. It is a prayer when answers are slow, obedience when the outcomes are unclear, a faithfulness when our feelings are thin. That waiting is not inactivity, but waiting is dependence on God. And dependence is not weakness, but it is the doorway to receiving the strength of God into our lives. So why does waiting feel so hard? Because waiting exposes things in us. Just like when I sit in the traffic jam or I'm waiting at the cash machine, it starts exposing the old man in me. The pre-salvation man, where I start getting irritated. And then I walk in and he's like, remember his pin, and he's looking for his pin. I'm standing there like saying, why didn't you come in? And I have to keep my mouth shut. Was that just me, or do we all behave like that? You see, waiting exposes our need for control. It exposes our impatience. It exposes what we trust when God feels silent. We're often willing to serve God, but less willing to be slowed by God. We like progress. We like clarity. We like measurable success. But waiting dismantles our illusion of self-sufficiency. In waiting, we discover how much we rely on outcomes to give us peace. And God in mercy invites us into waiting, not to punish us, but to free us from ourselves, from our own shortcomings. Because strength that comes quickly is often a shallow strength. But strength that's formed in the waiting seasons of our life, they go very deep. I want you to notice the promise does not say to us, they shall renew their strength. That promise? Which one? They shall what? This promise does not say they shall receive new circumstances, but it says they shall renew their strength. Which means the situation that we're in may remain, but our souls are still being transformed. That God does not always remove the load, sometimes He strengthens our shoulders to carry the load. The word renew means exchange. To exchange our weakness for God's power, our exhaustion for His life, our fear for His faithfulness. That waiting is where that exchange happens between God and ourselves. We come to Him with what is empty, and God meets us with what is eternal. And slowly and often quietly, our strength starts to return. Not the loud strength of adrenaline, but the deep strength of endurance. Of what?
Endurance.
Hallelujah. There are three movements of renewed strength. Isaiah gives us a beautiful progression. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is of a full life of faith. And we are so robbed of it by the devil. Soaring. When God lifts us up, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. These are the moments when God gives us a lift, where He gives us clear direction, fresh vision, renewed joy, deep assurance. Times when worship feels alive, when prayer feels natural, when hope rises within us naturally. And these moments are gifts from God. But I want us to notice that eagles do not create the wind, but they spread their wings and they ride on the wind which is being created for them. That soaring strength is received, not produced. And it often comes after a season of waiting, running, when God sustains us. They shall run and not be weary. Running is not soaring, but running is effort. It is ministry. It is responsibility. It is perseverance. It is showing up when life is full. That the promise is not that we will not be tired, but that weariness will not rule us. Church, there's a difference between being tired and being emptied of hope. God promises strength that sustains movement, not a dramatic escape, but a steady faithfulness. Then walking. When God carries us through the ordinary, they shall walk and not faint. Walking is the most overlooked miracle. It is daily obedience, daily faith, daily love, daily endurance. Because most of life is not soaring. Much of life is not running. Most of life is walking. Paying the bills, caring for people, managing limitations, holding on to faith in ordinary and sometimes difficult days. And Scripture says that this is where God's strength is just as real. That walking strength is quiet strength, but it's the strength that lasts. So what does waiting on the Lord look like for you and I today? It means praying without practicing the prayer beforehand, but just praying with an open and honest and a raw heart. It's obeying without a full explanation. Obeying God even if you don't know the outcome or you can't see what's in front of you. Trusting without visible evidence. Returning to God, even when emotion is absent. When you feel numb, and you can't feel anything because life has given you such a hiding. And that numbness comes and it paralyzes you. But it's in those moments of returning to God. The waiting looks like worship when nothing is changing. That waiting looks like continuing to love even when you don't feel like it. That waiting looks like resisting despair when it feels like the whole world is falling down on you. That waiting looks like staying rooted when it would be easier for you to run. Waiting is not doing nothing, but waiting is choosing God again and 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 again in the in-betweens of our lives. So what does weakness teach us, church? Isaiah says earlier in this chapter, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Now let's look at who qualifies. You might think it's just me because I'm the pastor. No, it's not just for me. It's not just the strong. It's not the impressive. It's not the self-assured. But it's the faint ones, the weary ones, the ones who know that they cannot do this alone. That your weakness is not a disqualification, but your weakness is often an invitation. It is the place where grace becomes experience rather than idea. And Paul would later say, when I am weak, then I am strong. Because weakness opens us to a strength that is not our own. That waiting will change the way that we see God. In waiting, our image of God is refined. We stop treating God like a solution machine and we begin to know Him as a sustaining presence working in our lives. That waiting teaches us that God is not only useful, but He is faithful. Not only powerful, but He is present with us. Not only able, but that He is good. And a God who is good is worth waiting for. There's times when we're waiting and it all feels silent around us. We can't hear God. We can't feel God. And some of the hardest seasons of our lives are not the painful ones, but the quiet ones. When our prayers feel unanswered, when direction feels absent, when God feels so distant. But church, Scripture never pretends that those seasons are easy ones. But it also never calls them empty. That roots grow in silence under the ground in the dark. That trust deepens in the quiet places. That waiting often looks like nothing is happening around us until we realize that actually something is happening within us. That Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise. Ultimately, Isaiah's promise finds its fullness in Jesus. Jesus knows what it is to wait. 30 years he waited before public ministry. 40 days in the wilderness. Long nights in prayer. Silent suffering before being hung up on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus enters ultimate weakness, exhaustion, abandonment, and death. Yet even there, Jesus entrusts himself to the Father. And through resurrection, God declares that waiting is not wasted, that trust is not foolish, that weakness is not final. Because God's strength itself raises us from the death of our sin. In the same way, with that same resurrecting power that He raised Jesus from the grave. Church, there's no season of waiting beyond the power of God. And some of you are not waiting for small things. Perhaps you're waiting for healing, or for reconciliation, or for direction, or for freedom of chains that are holding you, or for relief from a situation that has been there a long time. And Isaiah does not offer slogans here to us, but he offers us assurance that those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. Not might, not maybe, but shall. That God's timing may stretch us, but it will never starve us. Church, waiting is unavoidable. But how we wait is a choice that we have to make. We can wait bitter. We can wait anxious. We can wait closed up to God. Or we can wait with God. Open, praying, trusting, and returning to Him over and over and over and over again. Church, that promise of God still stands today. That strength will come. That perspective will grow. That hope will rise. That grace will sustain. Not always quickly. Not always loudly. But faithfully. So today, we do not ask God simply to end the waiting, but we ask God to meet us in that waiting. That those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand up with me? I want us to read that again. I want you to read this with me. But don't just read it. But write it into your heart as you read it. Declare this to your soul today. Declare this scripture right to your soul today. And let it settle and be strengthened. Repeat after me. But those who wait for the Lord
shall renew their strength.
They shall mount up with wings like eagles.
They shall not run.
They shall run and not be weary.
They shall walk
and not faint. That's a promise.
Amen. Thank you, God.
Can you all write? Get a piece of paper. Write that verse down. Stick it on your fridge where you're going to see it all the time. Because I know we all go to our fridge. It's the most visited place in our house. Either where by the fridge or where we leave the remote control for the TV. Put it there. Or on the toilet door. On the inside. But put it there and remind yourself of this scripture. And every time you see it in your home, repeat it over your soul. And I'm telling you that by the end of this year, you're going to be on top notch. Can you do that?
Amen.
How do I know this? No, I would never do that. I might ask you after coffee. I know this to be true because, as you all know, I had surgery on Friday on my back. And I'm in pain. I'm in pain. But yet I delivered a sermon today.
Yes. Praise God.
No. Don't applaud me. That's why. Will renew their strength, and I will soar like wings. Soar ego, not grow weary, walk and not be faint. You see, the power of God is over my flesh and over my mind. And if we can get that right, and then we can keep declaring this on our souls.
Yes, come on.
We're going to rise up, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's beautiful living here in Wickham. Have a look at the kites, the red kites. Janet and I love watching them. Watching them soar up there.
Yeah, but don't worry because they come after you.
Yeah, they come after your sausages when you barbecue.
Yeah, they do.
But just hold that thought.
Yes.
Hold that thought every time you look up and you see them. Another reminder of this great scripture. And my prayer for you is that every single one of you will come into a strengthening through Isaiah 40, verse 31. Who's going to write it down? Can we have a show of hands, please? Absolutely.
I've already got it on my phone.
Brilliant. Nice one. God bless you all.
Thank
Remember
you
to join for a cup of coffee. And I'm guaranteed this cake today again. Come on, let's close in prayer. Pete can... Okay, yeah, we're going to sing one more song. And then Pete, would you close for us? Thanks.